Blog Talk Radio.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about sports.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And as always, we open the show with a prayer. John Coltrane, still Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. And we ask, pray and beg that you have your way. We thank you, Lord, for those things we so largely take for granted. And more importantly, Lord, we thank you for blessings that have come, will come, and all unmerited. Thank you for your darling son Jesus that died on the cross so we may have the right to the tree of life. Remember in that great biblical verse, what is man that God is so mindful that the Son of Man visited? Lord, we ask you to bless our panel members, all those still rocking and reeling in the depths of Sandy. And we ask you, the Lord, to bless my family here in the USA, my family in Brazil, and the panel. More important, Lord, is that man once said to, lady, did you guard all by yourself? By the grace of God, although we may not live on Park Avenue, but by the grace of God, we don't live on Park Avenue. We ask you to bless and all the blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus. And bless our president. Tom's wife, Brazil. Jesus the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Trust in God Radio Network is a Saturday sports wrap. And we bring you this before we bring you tomorrow's final sports wrap. And as I look aboard, he's still riding the horse. He is Dusty Lois, and we've got some boxing action happening. And what's the latest happening in the world of the sweet science, dear Dusty?
Well, you know, Mike Garcia, the youngest brother of the Garcia brothers, who's an up-and-coming featherweight, a sharp kid, scored an 8-round knockout over is Argentine, who had 33 fights, and it was pretty good. You know, Argentines are coming in with a full force. You got Lucas Matisse, Maidana. They got another guy, Abreu. And this guy, his name just escapes me just now.
Well, I tell you what, name we can put on the top of the list right now.
Sebastian Jonathan Barros is pretty good. He got a good
What weight is he, Dusty?
Featherweight.
Hold on, Dusty. Tell my name is called. Somebody's riding up. Hold on, Dusty. Who's this now? Mel Cosell, a.k.a. Hey, Little Coco. Dusty, hold tight. Mel Cosell is going to bring us on to the Sports in Depth Nation, and we'll be back to some sweet science. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I bring to you Mel Cosell, a.k.a. Hey, Little Coco Smith Jr.
Well, thank you, Doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We are here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that indeed is Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And with that, posse members, Justinio Baby Lois Jr., Mel Cosell, a.k.a. Little Coco Smith Jr., Harold Weston Jr., Louis the Hoopster Hart, Harold Weston Jr., Cedric Cincinnati Sea Wings, Raymond, Nate B. Baseball Burger, giddy up, Gilberto Ortiz, and the First Lady of Sports and Depth Sports. And here on the Trust in God, Lady A. That's the crew. Right now, Dusty is in. Mel is in. We're looking for Harold to join us. And also, the new recent member is going to be under the belt, Mike Bellamy. But we're going to get right back to the sweet science real quick. Also, we want to let you know once again that we got the sponsors tonight that announced them. And one is the Barbershop Panama in 175th Street. East 21 175th Street, Andre's Barbershop, Panama. We'll give you the numbers later on. But right now, get back to the sweet science. Dusty, continue now. You're talking about this last guy's a featherweight, right?
Yeah, he's the youngest of the Garcia brothers, former world champs that they turned into trainers. And, of course, the brothers, the father and the brothers training Mike Garcia, the youngest kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like a comer. He's a comer. He's a very sharp dude. He doesn't waste any punches, but when he lets go, he punishes you. So those are the most dangerous guys. And they don't go wild. They pinpoint. And the main weapon in boxing is the jab, and he uses it with bad intentions. And he caught the dude in an exchange of punches. What was it? Eighth round. Yeah, the eighth round, and that was it. That's all she wrote. The guy didn't get up.
The rest, they say, is history.
Yep, the rest
is history. Speaking of Argentina, you know, we talked about the great Carlos Monzon, who we, I think it's been about 5 years now since he had that car accident. That was something. I saw Monzon. In fact, he fought on the undercard. In fact, he fought live. He fought the live main event, semi-main event, and he was on the undercard of the closed circuit the night that Ali said that the Soul Brothers fought the Quarry Brothers. And Monzon, I remember standing there at the press conference they had, and I really wasn't cognizant as much as I should. I remember some one guy walking up getting an autograph, and there he was, the great Carlos Monzon. There was talk, too. Monzon had like about 9 draws, and they said, you know, when you have 9 draws in your own country, that's a little suspect. You got to figure somewhere along the line.
It's very suspect. It's because he lost, and they don't want to give him a defeat.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Dusty. You know, when you got 9 draws in your own country, it's a little suspect there. Talking about, I saw something today, Rooney. I thought about you right away. Doc Stanley Sports and F1, the Trust in God Radio Network. This is our Saturday Sports Wrap, and the show we bring to you before the Sunday final tomorrow. Yeah, I've always liked reading books historically, biblically, that are designed for kids, because you learn so much of the infancy, and yet the ease in which you can pick up the knowledge, you know. And I was reading about Kimbo Slice, you know, who I met. Hold on a second, here he comes. Yesterday he was double barrel. Today he's just going to be bad. Harold Weston Jr. is in here. So the posse's all come looking for Mike Bellamy to join us. What I learned about this, Rooney, was, first of all, his first name is Kevin. He's Kevin Kimball Slice Ferguson. Okay.
Right.
And he fights out of Miami, Florida. He was born in Bahamas.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, born in the Bahamas.
And he has his own training camp in Florida, I think it is. A training camp.
It must be. 6'2", 212 pounds. But it's just amazing. And his real name, I think, is... that's in another language. Okay. Yeah, he's from the Nassau, Bahamas, Kevin Ferguson. And I got a chance to meet him. Keenan. That's the Keenan.
You met Kimbo?
No. I met Kimbo 3-4 years ago. I met Kimbo at the press conference for the fight that he was going to have with Ray Mercer.
Right.
I got an email. I think Dusty was there. Was photo showed. I got an email from Ed Keenan. Hey, Doc, if you're interested, Kimbo Slice, a couple other people, and he was there. I don't know if I got a picture. I know he gave me an autograph. Once again, in the sports Trust in God, Sports and Death, Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame, there is a Kimbo Slice autograph, and we sat and we talked, and he's in there among. I also got one from the Undertaker. McMahon,
AKA Mark Calloway. You know,
wow.
People don't understand, Doc, that Taker stands 6'10".
Who's that?
Right around 295, closer to 300-pound mark. But the guy's 6'10". And to be honest with you, he had a little backstage. Let me give you a little wrestling tip. He had a little and he's known, by the way, as one of the toughest, most respected guys in wrestling. Well respected, extremely tough, kind of one of the policemen, if you will, towards the other wrestlers. Like I said, he has much locker room respect. Dusty, help me out, because his name is escaping me at the moment. But who was the former WF champion who obviously won the Ultimate Fighting Heavyweight Championship? Well, I'm sorry, Brock Lesnar. Yeah, here Brock had a little something.
A little beef.
Because of their. What people don't understand, Doc, is a lot of things that happen in the ring actually do result in, how can we say, hard feelings at times. A lot of things, there is a lot more realism going on in the ring than anyone would ever imagine. Trust me on that. A lot more realism.
Okay. I love that classic line, Rooney, that you said, you know, you take a guy that I don't like, and he particularly doesn't like me, and real gets real, real fast.
Real fast, Doc. And it's true. I didn't know it until I started to get down with those dudes and try to see, you know, trying to make the pros. But, Doc, it is absolutely true. Things get real, real, real fast.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what got real today. There's all this talk about how great Alabama was. They were number one for the most consecutive weeks ever in their history. There was talk about what a great job Saban was doing. They were talking about Alabama was so good there were some pro teams they could beat. I guess they must have threw the Jets name in there. So, well, all that talk is gone today.
It's gone.
Texas A&M 29-24 beat Alabama. They were up 20-0. They were up 20-0. And Alabama came back. And the capper, too, was that A.J. McCarron was intercepted with 1:36 left in the game by Denzel Everett. And that was it, 29-24, Texas A&M, ranked number 15. They'll definitely go higher. They beat number one Alabama. And there's talk about Johnny Manziel, the freshman, you know, being in the running for the Heisman. And that's really amazing thing because, you know, no freshman's ever won the Heisman. Archie Griffith is the only man ever to win it back-to-back. And the guy,
back-to-back,
and twice, you're right.
Oh, I met, by the way, very classy individual, Doc. Thanks.
Oh, man. We were
there at the Heisman Trophy, and he had Heisman Trophy.
It went before they messed it up. It used to be, you know, press could be with him. And the thing about, you know, your guy, Tebow, you know, Tebow won it as a sophomore who just missed as a freshman, and Tebow had a shot at not only winning it back-to-back, but winning it three times, or at least
but
not back-to-back.
Let me say this to Dusty while you're on the air. I still say you get some use out of Tebow. Okay, Doc, sorry. Please go right ahead.
Well, I can tell you what. Dusty said last night that Phil Jackson wasn't coming back. Well, two things here. LeBron James said they did Mike Brown wrong, and it is right now. The latest, as the great Timothy Smiley would say, rumor was has it. The latest is that the Laker job is Phil Jackson's to take it or leave it. Harold Weston, talk to me about that.
Oh, my Lord.
On who?
About Phil
Jackson coming back to the Lakers.
They say that right now, if he wants the job, it's his to have again.
I think it's a good move because I think you know, they said something. Stephen A. Smith said something very logical on TV today when he said they don't need a coach to come in there and try to show new methods and go through a whole process of, you know, in the next 2 years. They need somebody to take over this team right now and start winning games. And he's right, because you got Kobe. Kobe's only going to be around for another 2 more years, Pop, you know, tops. And on top of that, you got other players that he's, you know, that Phil is used to. So basically, Phil can come in there and really just get this team back on a winning streak and get into championship material, because now that they got Howard there, you know, they got a real solid team to compete against, you know, Miami. But they got to gel together, and I think Phil can make that happen. I mean, we done seen him do it on several teams. I mean, when he came to Chicago wasn't no winning team until Phil Jackson got there, and he turned that whole thing around with Michael Jordan, and they got Scottie Pippen and a few more guys to bring the team to where they became superstars.
It's good, Harold. When Phil Jackson got that team, he got a hell of a team, and it was a lot better team than Doug Collins had. And Phil Jackson has never been any place.
No, but my point is, you want me to explain the thing? My point is that they didn't have a center at the time, okay? And when they got Cartwright, then they was in championship position. The reason why they didn't win that year when Phil first came, the first year, because they didn't have a good center. And Detroit took them out because they had a better center. All right?
Well,
I know these games because I done betted on them. I know how they went down.
Detroit took them out because Detroit was better. And had Detroit never gotten
because they
hurt,
had a good center, they had a better team.
Well, they had a better team. They had a better team.
But the fact they had no with the problem with Chicago at that time, they didn't have a good center. They didn't have no center. They needed a big man.
Exactly. They needed a big man. But my question is with
Hold on. Go ahead, Dusty. Go ahead.
My question is with Phil Jackson is here's a man that mentally already says, I'm tired of the game, my health is not right. How effective is he going to be? What is his energy level going to be? To take, all right, he's coached these guys, but to get back into the everyday drama of coaching and building this team to get back on the winning side, does he have the energy, the mental stability? That's what I question.
Well,
you know, see,
I've been around a long time, Dusty. Right, a long Bill goes a long time, man.
Yeah,
and
he's been
around
a long time, and he quit for health reasons, man. Yeah.
Well, my point is that he's got guys coming to a team that guys like him. That's one thing you got to have when you're a coach or with anybody.
Yeah, of course.
If your people do not like you, then yes, you're gonna have problems. But his players like him, and when they like you, they're gonna
try harder.
To be, and they're going to take as much stress off you because you know why? They want to please you. They want to make you happy. And that's
the key point. I can technically go along with that, but still I know I got to deal with the man's mental and physical health, and he's not into the game the way he was before. Remember when he was a young ball player, Action Jackson. I mean,
Here's a guy who has always had a great hand to play with. You're telling me that he didn't have a center. Well, if he was that good of a coach, he should have found out a way to win without a center. As some other teams have done that. You know, Bill Laimbeer ain't that much of a, you know, Laimbeer ain't no Hall of Fame center. Okay? And the Pistons not gotten old for some reason. Michael Jordan would have been about two world championships short. He couldn't beat the Pistons. Phil Jackson has never went any place where he had to coach. He never went any place where he had to nurture anybody. When Phil Jackson came on, the hand was already there. And that happened in Chicago, and that happened in L.A. And nobody said anything about how horrible Phil Jackson coached when the Detroit Pistons beat him 4-1. And no, it's like you know, it was the players' fault.
I'm gonna say that he needed a center regardless of what it was, and let me say this. Cartwright ain't the greatest center in the world.
No, he wasn't. No.
Okay,
Cartwright's not, Harold. But on the team that he had, he had two of the 50 greatest players in history of basketball, and
but
when he
the
went
fact
out,
is that he needed
Dusty,
a man
to
knock down the ball.
When he went to L.A., he had one of the greatest centers ever, and Kobe's one of the greatest. Phil Jackson is an outstanding coach. He ain't the greatest coach, and he's nowhere near the same type of coach that Larry Brown is, that Red Holzman is. You know what I mean? And Phil Jackson has never taken on a situation where he had to nurture and really do any coach. Harold, he had Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan on one team, and then he goes to L.A., he's got Shaq and Kobe.
Okay, you know what I'm going to say to you? I'm going to say it right now to you. I'm going to put it right for everybody to listen. If you're going to put Phil Jackson – wait a minute. No, listen to me. If you're going to put Phil Jackson in that situation, then Emmanuel Stewart is not that great of a trainer. Take away the Klitschko brothers because they were already made champions when Emmanuel Stewart got
there. Harold, you know full well that you're out of line with that.
No,
One thing about America,
everybody's got an opinion. And one thing I like about America, I'm willing to put my opinion with money.
Or how?
Would you have?
You know what I mean? I know that Phil Jackson, if they go, they're going to make it to the playoffs.
Well, Harold, how can that team not make the playoffs, Harold? How can that team not make the playoffs?
They didn't make it last year.
They made the playoffs last year. They made it make it. How can that team not make the playoffs? I remember they talked about the NBA years ago. It's hard for any team in the NBA not to make the playoffs. God damn, Harold.
A lot of teams ain't make it to playoffs.
But not that many. Not that many. I mean, you know, it ain't hard not to make the playoffs in the NBA anymore. My goodness. You know what I mean? Come on. I mean, they talk about the ABA like that. It ain't hard not to make the NBA. Phil Jackson, outstanding coach. Not a great coach. Phil Jackson has never got his hands dirty.
He's always had the talent to work with, Doc. That's the point.
Never
of the
got
thing.
His hands dirty.
He's, Jackson is a good coach, but he's had the talent to work with them. He's had the talent to work with. He's never really
had
to start from scratch.
He's never got his hands dirty. I mean, and you look like Phil Jackson was, he wasn't even a super sub. He was just a sub. He wasn't a super sub. He wasn't Ridden. He wasn't Cassie. He was a sub. Went in, fouled somebody, that's it. And now all of a sudden he's just genius of a coach.
Since before he got there and those players was always there, why did those players then win the championship before he got there?
Harold, those players those players got there when he got there.
I'm glad if they get Phil Jackson, that's good for Los Angeles.
I got no problem with Phil. I'm just saying, I just don't see him as the greatest coach that ever coached a game of basketball. That's all. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to put him in the top three.
No question he's in the top, Harold. No question about that. I'm sorry, Winnie. No question about that. I just don't see him being the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's all.
Oh, no, I put him in the top. I ain't going to say he's the greatest.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I love this show. Because you see what goes back, but you see what you learn and what you hear. I pop my chest. I stand up. There's nobody better than my crew. You know what I mean? And know what, Hal? I'll bet all my money on that. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's our sports wrap. Alabama is no longer undefeated and number one. Phil Jackson may be coming back home. And
He's coming.
He's going to come back when he talks to us about it,
Yeah, he's coming. My question is, though, Doc, and like I said, all fair in pro sports. I mean, you know, the fighters on the panel know that. I mean, the pros, it is what it is. My question is, though, Doc, were they entirely fair to Mike Brown? I mean, your point guard's hurt. Your big man's not really 100%. 1-4, the guy gets the boot already. I mean, they didn't show a whole lot of patience with Mike Brown about what this did. I know the Lakers Showtime and all that, you know, they can't really have a, you know, it's not acceptable for them to have a, you know, a losing record, but it's so early, Doc, and I think they were 1-4 when they fired Mike Brown. They didn't show a whole lot of patience for him.
He was there last season, right? He was there last season, and I guess that was the last resort to fill that vacancy. And
yeah.
They let the season play out. So now, of course, it's a little unfair, but they hang the tooth nail on the fact that they started off last at any race, and they're 1-4 when they should have been 5-0 or 4-1. So, and that was the excuse from last year to get rid of him. They just brought him in there to replace a hole. That's the way I saw it. The man was just an interim coach. He was not
Thus, you could see that Kobe didn't seem that thrilled with him.
Exactly. They were not happy with him, so they let the season ride out, depending on what happened. You know, it makes me wonder sometimes what the thought would have been this season if they had gone on and won the NBA. You know, would they would have started the season 1-4, they would have fired him after winning the NBA last year. But I felt that he was only an interim coach until they found or they encouraged Jackson or somebody who's been around a long time, you know, to come back and coach the team.
If they get Phil Jackson, that works. Everybody's happy. It's going to help the sales, especially with that big problem.
I questioned Jackson's mentality and his health when he said, "I'm tired. I'm finished. I've had surgery."
You know what, Dusty? How hard is it to sit on a bench and coach a basketball team?
It reminds me of athletes.
Especially baseball players. They're like, "Well, I want to spend more time with my family." What are you telling me? What kind of yang? You're making $18 million a year as a pitcher to pitch every 5 days. You go six innings. The kids don't get out of school till June. Okay, as a baseball player, you are home for every major holiday. You're home for Thanksgiving. You're home for Christmas. You're home for New Year's Eve. And you're home for New Year's Day. What are you telling me? You want to spend more time with
your family? I'm telling you that if you live in California, you got to uproot your family and bring them to Jersey or whatever, or Boston, whatever.
You're making $18 million a year, Dusty.
That's not hard. Come on, man. Don't be ridiculous.
Listen to what I'm saying, Dusty, with that kind of money, you can bring your family with you. Okay? With that kind of money, you got a home.
The kids become like Army
If I signed an 8-year contract, okay, with the San Francisco Giants, okay? Okay, I'm from New York. Now, when I signed the contract with the Yankees 6 years ago, I brought a home in New York. I brought a home in Florida. I brought a home in San Francisco.
Well, in today's market, with that kind of money, you can fly the kids to the game. With money, that's not going to solve the fact that you turn your kids and family into Army brass. How much time do you really spend with your kids anyway, Dusty?
Yeah, you're killing me with
anyway.
That. The kids are in school, Dusty, from what, September to June.
But they are transplanted. Okay? Don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? They're transplanted from their home base.
And then the ball players get traded, okay, kids,
we're leaving Jersey, we're going to Seattle. Okay,
what do the kids care? I'm with mommy and daddy. I don't care where mommy and daddy goes. It's a different story if I'm going to leave the kids. You're going to play baseball for a very limited amount of time. Okay, So in that span of time, you better get all you can because you said it's not about doing. You get all you
what
can.
What do you think,
while
Donnie
you can.
Baseball? What do you think, Donnie Baseball left baseball? Huh?
Why did he leave?
Because his wife became a freaking alcoholic, man, and a drug addict.
Yeah, but the family was disrupted.
The sons began to disarray, man. Come on.
The kind of parent you are has nothing to do with your invocation.
These things happen. Look at Andy Reid right now. His two sons, junkies, away from home, man.
And look at what happened with Tony Dungy. With Tony Dungy and his son
commit suicide.
I think it can be kind of hard on the family, especially the kids.
It all depends on the kind of parent you're, the kind of woman you have. But making that, you can bring the family with you.
Please.
What do you mean? Come on. Chris Chandler's wife, Audrey, has done a fantastic. Listen, fellas, we can go both ways. I understand your side. Go with my side. I can't be that hard of a lifestyle, okay, with the kind of money you're making. You can fly the kids with you, okay? You can have the kids with you. I mean, as a baseball player, your kids are in school. When they're out of school, they're with you. As soon as school is out, you got the kids with you. So what's the difference if they're in Chicago? They're with daddy. They're with mommy. And you can give them certain things. I've never brought this idea. And here's a perfect example. All of a sudden, Phil Jackson ain't tired no more. Okay? Same thing with Andy Pettit. All of a sudden, he don't need to spend more time with the family no more. That's my case. Stop. They're coming back.
Because he spent the quality time and the years that he needed to reinforce the family values.
So you're telling me in one year, he spent all the quality time he needed, so now he can come back.
You're telling me in one year, Dusty, he spent all the quality time he needed to spend, and now he can come back and play baseball. What you're doing is contradicting yourself. Because
no, I'm not.
Saying
no, you just showed me the quality. Dusty, you're telling me that he, in 1 year,
he spent all the quality time
he needed to spend.
He attempted to make or spend time that he did. Now, Bernie Williams' family, where were they 24/7? They were Puerto Rico, man. Where's Mariano Rivera's family? In Panama.
In some cases, Dusty,
in
that
Panama,
was a better place for them to be.
They only see dad on TV.
In some cases, that was a better place to be. I mean, have you heard anything about Bernie's kids having drug problems? It all depends on the fiber.
Well, nobody's talking about them having drug problems. You're talking
We just talked about Coach Reed and the residue of what happened. We just talked about Tony Dungy, whose son hung himself. But let's talk about let's talk about the families that didn't do it. Let's talk about the families that did work out.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
You don't know if it worked out. You don't know if it worked out or not, or the kids are saying that.
I got to go
home.
Under the mindset it did. I haven't heard about Brandy Williams' kid killing himself. No,
well,
I haven't heard about Chris Chandler's kid.
Nobody.
You know? I'm saying there's substance to what you said. There's something it can work. I'm saying I've never understood how all of a sudden you want to spend more time with the family. I mean, in baseball, the family is there, which sucks. I mean, if you remember spending more time with the family, remember the two pitchers? They switched families. That's how close the family's always been in baseball. They switched families.
That's a moral issue, man.
I mean, yeah, but still, you know, with baseball, in baseball, your family is always there. You spend half the time on the road. You spend half the time at home.
No, you don't. Look at the guys in the All-Star game. They welcome not being a selected to the All-Star game so they can take those 3 or 4 days
and
fly home.
Let me tell you something. There's something, you know what, that's not about the family. That's about the mindset of these guys. All of a sudden, being on the All-Star team isn't that special anymore. Being on the All-Star team doesn't mean that much anymore. That's nonsense. That's nonsense, man. That's a privilege. That's an honor to be an All-Star. It's like an athlete. You know, all of a sudden, I understand you're not a role model, but, you know, you do have sort of an obligation. But, you know, all of a sudden, you want to spend more time. And once again, I find that really crazy. You know, you got picked to be an All-Star. I mean, unless you're Willie Mays and Yessel Clemente, unless you're Koufax, Marichal, Gibson, Mickey Mantle, you know you're going to be an All-Star again. But how many guys, Mark Sharpeson, I remember how proud Mark Sharpeson was to be picked for the All-Star team. And about 3 years later, Mark Sharpeson had died. I mean, so, you know, it seems to me that anytime you want to get off the hook, you say, I want to spend more time with family. How many of the guys are horrible fathers anyway? I mean, at the same time, you give me examples about situations that didn't work. Give me some examples that did work. That's all.
Most examples do work, but you don't know the turmoil. You don't know the internal turmoil any more than I do of the examples that supposedly work, and Danny goes back home to Puerto Rico, to Venezuela, or to Cuba, or Santo Domingo, or Charleston, North Carolina, all over the United States, and spend time with the family. You don't know that. Okay, but what I'm trying to tell you,
Dusty, I do know that. I do know that.
Well,
there's always a price to be paid.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Dusty, come on, say something, Dusty. I do know that. Come on, say something, Dusty.
You know what? What is it that you say you know?
You're talking about it. I didn't know about the families that do Doc Stanley Sports and Death on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. We've been talking about the situation. Justino Baby Lewis, Harold Weston Jr., Mel Smith. Looking for Mike Bellamy to join us. And I was looking for this coach to join us, Sean Godbo. Today, some young fellas walked into an area I was in, the Bronx Steelers youth tackle football team. They're looking for donations, kind of stuff that Dusty loves. Harold does, too, working with the kids. The mission statement is the Bronx Steelers Youth Football Team is a nonprofit organization that operates as a youth community outreach program, which offers youth leadership development course under a football team structure. Our goals are to educate and promote youth leadership in our community by exerting pride, discipline, and self-confidence. This will teach brotherhood, sisterhood, and respect among the youth in our community. The exercise and activities in our program will reduce the rate of obesity, health problems associated with obesity. Also, it plays a major role in reducing the crime rate among the youth in our community. The training and practice will be conducted by our coaching staff, which is made up of seven former football players with over 25 years' experience, and they're also licensed to coach by the SUNY Youth Sports Institute. And for all you people who want to send donations in, you can call 646-852-3002, 646-852-3002. That's the BronxSteelers.com, Bronx Steelers Youth Tackle Football Team. I'm still trying to get the president, Sean Godbolt, to join us. Hope he can get here with us soon. Members of the coaching staff of head coaches Sean, Calvin Pitts, his coach James Ford, Kim Simon, Stanley Martinez, Nick Godison, James Richard, Calvin Pitts, Marcus Hickman, and Alice Charles. Team dads, good to see that. Team dads and moms. You know, it's a funny thing. Moms always outrate the dads. The moms, Cleo Branch, June Mahalan, Joan Benjamin, Sarika Martinez, and Frida Madison. The team dads, Dane Mahalan, there's a family affair there, Manny Martinez, and James Richards. Once again, phone numbers to call. Help in the situation, one more time, 718-825-2260, 646-852-3002, and 718-466-1805. Location of the Bronx Steelers, 4682 Park Avenue, Suite BA, and that's in the Bronx, New York. Once again, the Bronx Steelers Youth Tackle Football Team, 646-852-3002. And I had him, so I'm hoping to get him back, hoping to join. Mike Bellamy is supposed to join us to talk some more boxing. And once again, we're hoping to have him join us. And at the same time, it's time to let you know that this first portion of Sports in Depth has been brought to you by Andre's Barbershop, and that's located at 21 East 175th Street, Panama. Is the head man there, 917-751-3393. 917-751-3393. Manny Mobile Clothing for all occasions. Ask for Jay. 646-322-1657. 646-322-1657. And when you're at Panama's, you figure you want to do some clothes? Laundry Master. Monday through Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 2. It's half off on the machines. One more time, Andre's Barbershop. And those have been the guys who brought you these first 38 minutes of Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Alabama no longer is undefeated. Notre Dame was number 4. They may move up in the rankings. Dusty just told you about some boxing. We've talked some baseball. We've also got to talk about tomorrow's football game. It's a big game for both teams. Sea Wings is on assignment. Lady A, get well wishes to you, as she had some surgery done, so she won't be able to join us on this segment. Looking for her to join us tomorrow night. And we'll also want to say hi to Nate B. Baseball, who's a guy, I guess he's got some withdrawal pains with baseball being under hoops. Hope to get him back here to talk a little basketball with us. And once again, we're going to try to get a hold of the head coach and president of the Bronx Steelers youth football team and here in the Bronx location. And with that being said, I announced yesterday, and maybe everybody here, but they canceled the Urban League Classic this year. This is the game that's going to be played for the first time in 25 years in New York City. It was a 2-year deal. But I don't know how much Sandy had to do with it, whatever, but the game has been canceled. I will imagine they will definitely have the game next year. I don't know
if
they're going
to make it. Was it at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, yeah, that was the thing about it, Dusty. And this
well, Yankee Stadium, was it hit that hard, was it, or was it the transportation?
Dusty, I don't know. You know, I got the thing that it was canceled. And see, the one thing that the coaches said was that, you know, the guys are so elated about two things, playing in Yankee Stadium and playing in New York, because they said how it was funny was that every year they came toward New York, but they stopped in Jersey. You know, they never got to New York. But Patrick Farrar, the great football mind, said one of the problems was that people were a little upset about the game coming back to New York because of the limited area for the pre-fight parties and all the things they had. So they really liked it having in Jersey because of the parking lot I can't think of the name of that term, that guys would be out before the game and stuff like that, the marching band. But the coaches were elated because it brought back memories of Coach Eddie Robinson when all those games were played here. And a salute to George Steinbrenner. You know, Coach Steinbrenner.
It was traditional. They always played in Grambling, I think. Grambling.
Grambling always played. They played in the state. And you know, one of the things that Steinbrenner did when he took over the Yankees, he picked out a charity that he was going to parent and father. Yeah. And the charity was the Urban League. And at that time, Whitney M. Young was the president. And if I'm correct, they changed it to the Whitney M. Urban Classic after Mr. Young drowned. He had a tragic situation where he drowned. But one of the things that Steinbrenner did, in the exception of buying the Yankees, I believe in 73, is that he also brought into, I'm going to father and mentor this Urban League, the Urban League. And he was so instrumental in the success. He opened up Yankee Stadium to him. He funded Grambling. Then him and Eddie Robinson became close, or were close. And it was a situation that a lot of the rising and prestige that the Classic got, I mean, just enough to play in Yankee Stadium. In fact, I remember one of the games. I'll never forget the game because they honored Julius Erving before the game. And I saw Julius. I went up there to see him. And he said, "Hey, Mel, you know, it was the same night, Harold, and Dusty, and Rooney, too. It was the same night that Larry Holmes was going to fight Leon Spinks, not Adios Mio, come with me, so Michael Spinks. And so Michael Spinks was making his bid to become the first light heavyweight to win heavyweight champion of the world, and Julius was there, and we started talking, and I said, "Well, you know, I got to head downtown." He said, "Well, hey, great." I said, "I want to talk to you. I'll give you a ride." So, and I mean, it's great. I'll never forget. I got the limo ride, talked down with Julius. We talked. That was the night that, Saturday, that Michael Spinks beat Larry. I think Larry was 48-0, going for 49-0.
They robbed Larry Holmes.
Yeah, he got robbed in both of those fights, as a matter of fact.
He got robbed.
What about you, Harold?
He got robbed in both of those fights.
You know why he was robbed? You know why he was robbed?
Well, he said Marciano couldn't carry his jockstrap.
They were comparing him. They said Rocky Marciano couldn't carry my jockstrap. And he had to apologize. That's right.
Harold, your thoughts on that, Harold? After WWE, you join it.
And they punished him by taking away his title.
Well, the thing was that Larry was stupid. I mean,
he made a stupid remark. You're right, Harold.
He should have realized you respect another man who has won a championship.
And
set his goals out there, and all you have to do is just beat it. Don't say nothing. Don't discredit another man. I mean, a man wasn't even around. I mean, Rocky Marciano, he maintained his goals, what he did, how he did it, you know, the days that he did it was on him. My point is that Larry should have left it alone. Larry should have worried about Larry.
But let me say this. I was right about that as far as I'm concerned. You know, let the past be the past, what he did in his time. But, you know, I get the feeling, and you all comment to me, please. But I get the feeling that for some reason, Larry never felt that he got his due for some reason, Al.
That's the reason why he made the remark.
Larry came through an era where you saw Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, you saw Sonny Liston. I mean, you saw guys, I mean, Edward Charles. I mean, we saw guys that can really fight. Larry was good, but Larry wasn't no spectacular guy that these people were talking about. And when you disgrace guys like Muhammad Ali, say I beat him up in training, and then say Rocky Marciano cannot carry my jockstrap, then they're going to say, okay, you that bad? Now let me see you win this decision.
Hey, Harold, how much of being Ali's sparring partner helped Larry, and he turned around and kind of, you know, smacked it in the face?
Well, I think it helped him, like you said, it helped him greatly. Yeah. But Larry, you know, being Muhammad Ali's sparring partner, it was the greatest sparring partner in the world. You didn't get hit by Ali that much when you sparred with Ali, okay?
Yep.
Especially when he came after the exile after 3 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, Muhammad would mostly just lay on the ropes and let guys bang on him and everything.
Right,
so being Ali's sparring partner, boy, was the greatest being sparring partner in the world. And they made money. And that's the crazy part. They made money.
They paid good money.
Really, Harold? What do you mean by made money? They made nice money, huh?
They made him not fight. All they did is stay in the gym and hit Ali on his arms and on his gloves and all that, and Ali never punched back. Do you know what that is, being a sparring partner? I mean, when you ain't going to get hit at all by the world champion?
Really?
Look, let me tell you, the science of training is that you are a paid punching bag. Okay?
Yeah,
that's what you are.
Punching bag.
You're paid good money. These guys training for a main event, especially a world title, can even knock you out training. But that's all right because that's part of the game. Some guys
Let me cut to the chase, Dusty, right quick. Not to interrupt you, pardon me, the interruption. But I got to ask you guys just right off the bat. Is Larry Holmes a top 10 heavyweight, you know, in the history of it? Is he a top 10 heavyweight?
Well, you know, he was good. He undefeated. I mean, I don't know whether you put him in the top 10 or maybe he's worthy of the top 10. The fact that he did what he had to do at the time that he was there.
Dust, you got to put him in the top 10. Look at all the heavyweight. We ain't had but so many heavyweight champions.
Exactly.
I ain't talking about these rinky-dink guys. No, I'm talking about heavyweight champions from Larry Holmes on down.
Exactly.
Harold, are you telling me that you're not gonna recognize Shannon Briggs? Are you telling me you're not gonna recognize Lyman Brewster? Harold, are you telling me you're not gonna recognize Oliver McCall?
No.
Those guys just happened to make it because of a string of flukes.
Right.
Oliver McCall became a heavyweight champion. Why? Because when the referee said break, he threw a right hand and knocked out Lennox Lewis. That's it. That's how he became.
Hold on, gang. We got somebody riding up. Ladies and gentlemen, listening, this is Doc Stanley on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports Network of the show. Gentlemen, and we want to take a few minutes to salute. Anytime we can do something to help our youth, and man, who knows more about helping our youth than Harold Weston and Destino Bevilois and also Rooney and the important fact that they play in our lives. Today, young man, I'm in a spot. A young man comes in, got these Steelers colors on, and they're making donations. They want donations. And I said, hey, wait, man, I can get these guys on the show. And this just gentleman, one of the kids say, oh, here's our coach. And the kid goes to hand me a flyer. And this guy said, no. He said, let me give you a better flyer. You know, he wanted to give me the best possible flyer. And that gentleman's name is Sean Godbolt. He's the president of the Bronx Steelers Youth Football Team Incorporated. And he's also the head coach. He's joining us now. So we're going to talk to him for a few minutes. Sean, we want to thank you for calling us.
I want to thank you for having me.
Well, hey, all honor goes to God, first of all. Okay, Sean, I've got the guys are probably going to ask you different questions and stuff. Why did y'all pick the name of the Steelers?
Well, I picked the name of the Steelers due to the fact that they're a hard-working team, a blue-collar team, and I wanted to be able to touch bases with the kids and whatnot. As far as, you know, working in the steel mill, hard work, you know, pays off and things of that nature. So that's how we kind of came up with the name.
Now, how long has your organization been in existence?
Oh, this is our third year in existence and whatnot. Up in the Bronx, Tremont, Fordham Road section of the Bronx, and we've had ups and downs in the last two or three years and whatnot. And like I said, it's our third year. We're still struggling. Our kids, the schoolwork is important. We check the schoolwork, you know, in order for them to play. We work with community and the parents. Our first year, I remember we didn't win a single game. Second year, we won a few games. Third year, we wound up winning the whole New York City in the AYF, American Youth Football League.
Mm-hmm. You say something. I'm going to let the panel run at you. You're talking to some very esteemed gentlemen. The first and only African-American matchmaking history of Madison Square Garden boxing and a world champion himself, Mr. Harold Weston Jr., Destino Bevilois, a fire lieutenant and also a Golden Glove boxing champion and a esteemed writer and also former WJF star and another legendary black
sports writer in New York City, Mel Smith Jr. You know, the thing that I liked, you know, the kids was just so well mannered, so respectful. You talked about the importance of academics, and you know, it's something that people understand that, you know, black colleges graduate 90% of their students. It's always been a thing in our neighborhoods. You can play ball, but you got to hit them books. And I like that aspect of what you say. Scholastics is just so vital. And without further ado, gentlemen in the panel, questions for him. If I'm correct, 646-852-3002. Is that the number people can call to contact you and donate stuff?
Yeah, they can call me direct, actually. It's 718-825-2260. That's my direct line.
Okay, and they can get you on BronxSteelers.com, right?
Yeah, BronxSteelers@yahoo.com. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, well, without further ado, Rooney, Dusty, Howe.
Sure.
Got some questions for him?
Sean Mel Smith Jr., again, welcome, you know, on the show, and we commend you for the work that you're doing with the youth, no doubt. My question to you, just to start off, what's the age range for the kids in your organization, Sean? What's the age range?
Oh, the age range, we range from 7 years of age all the way to 15 years of age, because at the age of 15, we hand them off to a good high school or a private school where they sometime receive a scholarship. In any case, that's football is our game, education is our aim.
Okay, great. From 7 to 15 years of age, okay. So you have a pretty varied, you know, age range in regard to the, you know, the group of kids that you have from 7 to 15. So, you know, that's basically, you know, obviously young preteen all the way up to teenage, 15, your high school years. Good job.
Yes, sir. We match them up by weight and by age and put them in the competition. You know, nationals are down in Florida. But it's basically just a community outreach program dealing with youth and just taking them off the street, giving them something constructive to do. We seem to be missing that. You know, they go around, they don't want to pull their pants up. You know, we're here in the football team. You got to wear your pants up every day, on and off the field. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it's
absolutely,
a lot,
Sean.
It's a lot.
You know, before the rest of the panel gets to you, I know they're dying. But, you know, something, I have a bit of a dilemma, Sean. I heard this article, Doc. I read this article before. It's been a while now. And I was kind of stuck between, and this one is really for you, Sean, fairness with the other kids and fairness to this one kid. It seems as though that the one of the youth leagues barred one of the kids. I believe he's 13, but because I believe he stands 6 feet and 298, and in fear of the safety of the other kids, they barred the kid from playing. Now, Doc, my dilemma is, okay, you obviously have to look after the safety, you know, of the, you know, of the children. And obviously a kid that's 13 at 6 feet and 298 is a bit of a monster. But then again, I'm stuck between the fairness to the other kids, not to get them hurt battling a kid of this size, and fairness to the kid. Can't help his size, can't help his weight, can't help his life.
Right.
So, Sean, your opinion, since you were kind of like the founder of this, well, where would you stand on something like that? Between the fairness to the kid and the fairness to the safety of the other kid, Sean? Kid 16,
right.
98, he's 13.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to find some kids close to that age range, that's 13 years old, and that's the bracket that he plays in. He might have to travel more, I mean, you know, but you want to make the playing ground somewhat even. So he may have to travel more to get with a team that weighs a little more weight or weighs the weight that he's playing in, and that's the division he played. Then in Alabama and Kentucky, we play kids in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And what we do is we match the weights. That way no one's left out. We want you to lose weight. We want you to, you know, we want to fight obesity among the youth in our community. But at the same time, we don't want you to feel like someone's picking on you, like, you know, like you're a freak or make you feel bad because of the weight that you're bearing right now. So this is why we put them in different weight classes so that they're all allowed the opportunity to play.
Good job, Sean. So that means that the kid just happens to be sort of like a giant among kids, if you will. You have a weight range that he can actually fit in. We don't have to worry about the, you know, outside of the various, you know, hits that you take in football, obviously. But we don't have to worry about the safety of, you know, say some kid that's about, I don't know, about 4'11" and about 125 pounds, you know. But you said you have specific weight categories for the various sizes of the kids.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
With that being said, if a kid is 15 years old and another kid is 8 years old, and the kid at 8 years old weighs 140 pounds, and the kid at 15 weighs 140 pounds, they be in the same class in the same situation?
No, what you would do then is that we have a interim unit where he goes, the kid is 8 years old, he would go with the 10 and unders. And you're going to find some 10 and unders that match up with his weight class. And that's safe for him to play in. That's appropriate position for him to play in also, too. So
what I'm saying is that if you only got those two kids or three kids that's in that older bracket, and that kid at 8 is weighing that, and these kids, the other kids are weighing the other way. I'm saying, does that situation stay as it is? He's weighing 140, and the other kids are weighing 140, but they're 14 and 15. Does he still got to fight, deal in that weight class, in that group?
No, sir.
Because
that
he's 8 years old, he weighs 140 pounds, which a lot of kids are bigger than what their age are.
Right. No, sir. At that time, what we do is I would talk and coordinate with other teams throughout the league, and what we'll do is we'll send all these kids as heavy
right
to that one particular team at that age to make sure that they have enough guys on their roster so that we can go and play. At that time, we can't do nothing for them with our team, but throughout the league, we can because there's other teams that, like I say, I work, coordinate with.
Yeah, okay. When you were talking about weight, and I'm looking at age because I can see a big difference. If a kid's 15, a kid is 8, and they still weighing the same weight, that the kid 15 is going to have advantage of the kid of 8 years old.
Yeah, but yeah, how? Because that's teenage strength against kid strength. That was the beef that I had with the Golden Gloves, that I believe he's going to be 16 to enter the gloves. And what does it go up to, Howard? About 25, 26?
No, 35.
Yeah, 25, 26.
Right. Well, here's another thing, too. When we're dealing with these kids that comes in with all this weight and things on them, it's about discipline, too. We're missing a lot of that in our community. So therefore, we get into working with the kids, not having them to lose a whole bunch of weight at a fast time, but just teaching them certain things that they can do. Certain healthy choices and things of that nature that helps control the weight and give them some loss to the weight and help them breathe better. As far as the calisthenics and the exercise and the drillings that we do throughout mm-hmm. the football camp, it helps them out a lot.
Okay.
We introduce them to vegetables. We introduce them to certain things, and hopefully that get them somewhat healthy and on the right track.
Right.
But you're right saying that it's a comprehensive program. You're saying it's a comprehensive program, Sean, where you're taking into consideration diet, education, and just a whole comprehensive program, not just football per se.
Right. Football is just is a structured program. We structured it's a community outreach program, like I say. And we structured under a football team structure. And, could they fall in love with football? I can have any kids to get the best grades that they can possibly get just by telling them, well, you won't play this weekend or you can't play the next month unless them grades improve. And believe it or not, it works. It works.
Piggybacking on the weight situation, you take a kid that's 8 years old and weigh, like Harold said, 140 pounds. Well, you got to maybe, I don't know, this is how I see it. You got to take in consideration the fact that the kid is carrying a lot of baby fat. He's not a mature athlete, and that baby fat can be melted away by I think what you said, Sean, in terms of exercises and learning how to diet, get him out of the Big Macs. McDonald's and the kiddie meals and all that nonsense, and teaching them dieting through exercise, because that's fat that could be lost because he's still a baby.
Yes, sir.
A lot of fighters, boxers, going into the boxing world, got into boxing because they were pudgies, man. They were 14 years old and weighing 350. And in order to be able to sort of compete and
Miguel
all that, they
Cotto,
got into boxing.
Example, Dusty. Miguel Cotto is a perfect example.
They, yeah, they got into boxing. They got into boxing to lose weight, and as they were losing weight, they got to love the game. Willie Pastrana, who lost to Jose Torres, was the same way. A lot of these guys got into boxing, but that's one of my comments. But then stretching it out, you mentioned your team or the franchise is called the Steelers. You know, have you thought about or your organization thought about reaching out to the Steelers, the per se, for, you know, for like funding and uniforms and equipment as part of, you know, you're carrying their name and you're playing under, you know, under your banner, but you're carrying their name. It's a lot of times teams, a lot of franchises, professional franchises, to carry on the community work, you know, do help and fund teams to carry on their good name as part of their goodwill. You know, there isn't a ball player or football player that doesn't have a foundation that they fund. Derek Jeter, second to none. That, you know, something of that nature. And the kids wear the Yankee uniform.
His foundation his foundation, which he emulated Dave Winfield. And for Sean, what we'll try to do is try to look up the PR people from the Steelers for you so you can get in contact with them.
Our
special guest right now.
I remember many years ago there was the Dave Winfield Foundation.
Out in Vegas.
Yeah.
Out in California.
But it was started here, but then he went back to California. But they did have, because I used to take a lot of kids to Yankee Stadium under the Dave Winfield Foundation, and they would try out. They would have these were 16 and 17 year old kids, high school, junior pony, and freshman college, and open tryouts under the Dave Winfield Foundation. And I really didn't keep. They went on to colleges and all that. How successful they were, I really don't know. But that was an open door for them to have tryouts. The Mets used to do the same thing. They had open tryouts for kids who aspire to become professional ball players. So maybe the Giants, Giants, Jets, Steelers, as you carry their names, might be able to, you know, to open the doors and guide you in that fashion. It's all charity.
Hey, Sean, let me ask you a question. You said that you do something down in Florida. What part of Florida do you guys have your tournament or where y'all have your
Kissimmee, Florida. AYF. It's American Youth Football. They have where all the teams from every state show up. The best team out of every state. Number one team of every state shows up. And they go at it battling for the number one team of the nation. That's why they call it Nationals.
All right. How many teams is be down there at that time? I'm asking the question because I do business in Florida. That's the reason why I'm asking you a question.
Yes, sir. It's about 140 teams, and with 122 teams. I'm sorry, 122 teams exact. We take up the hotels all throughout that area. And there's 11 football fields, and they go and play, and you know, you lose, you go home.
Right. I know, yeah. I think I'm asking, I don't know if they're involved with that. Is the Seminole tribe football team involved in that tournament?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right, okay.
I could be wrong because it's a lot of teams. But going back to the obesity thing and just the weight loss and the thing, I just want to touch on that real quick. A lot of times we can tell the kids on what to eat, or we can educate them on how to eat and things of that nature. But if we're not talking directly to the parents and making them understand and making them aware and educating them, then the work is like we're doing no good. So what we do is it's mandatory that each parent, we knock on the door. I know sometimes we bother parents. We're not going to do and have them to come out to the meetings. Yes, son wants to play football. We're here for him and whatnot, but it's just not just football. So we bring the parents out and we go over certain things that they can do to help improve the weight loss and continue to get the kid healthy. And sometimes it works where the parents come out and they're getting healthy.
Wow.
So it goes farther than just explaining it to the kid and you know, on what he should be eating and showing and leading by example and things of that nature.
Well, Sean, if you got that working out with the parents involved and you get them to lose weight, boy, you'll be the man of the year.
But it works for some, not all. Some, you know.
Be the Jack LaLanne of the Bronx, man.
Right. But I think of something because, like I said, if you're down in the Florida area, and I'm my mind is just racing right now.
Yeah, Harold. When you start asking questions, right away, Harold is looking to do something. And you know, Sean, we're so glad that you joined us. But I don't think you're aware of the gentleman you're speaking to. He's some of the most renowned people, not only in the venue of sportscasting and sports. Our society and Harold Weston, you know, so these guys have always been working in the community. They got some connections with us. So glad you could join us and let you know that we are here to support and help you at any time. And we want to commend you. I mean, this whole time that you're talking very positive stuff. And what I like about you, you seem like you cut from a typical cloth. Yes, sir, no, sir. And a lot of respect shown to the panel members. And we really appreciate that.
Yes, sir, and I thank you guys for having me. But it goes farther than that. Our kids, this is the way they have to address every adult that they come in contact with in the community, whether it's the guy from the cleaners or the grocery store or the next-door neighbor or the school teacher. This is SOP, standard operating procedures, for anybody that plays on our football team that's involved in our program.
Yeah.
And that's missing. I come from North Carolina. I come down by Shelby and Charlotte. Gastonia and Hickory. And my mother, when I first got to New York, which was about 20-something years ago, maybe 27, 28 years ago, everyone was laughing. I couldn't believe it. They were laughing. I said, wow, what are they laughing about? And the people in New York, some of the kids here just never heard of that.
Wow.
Never heard of it. And I always explain to the young kids, if you guys want to get better, you want to get 60, you want to get 48, you got to listen to these guys. These guys are there already. So if you're trying to get to where they're at, then you got to listen and give them the utmost respect.
Sean, is the corporation a nonprofit corporation or what is it?
A nonprofit corporation. We're speaking about Florida. We didn't make it to Florida yet. We made it to regionals. That's Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'd have
to win in Washington. We'd have to win in Washington to go to Florida, but we did win in New York.
All right, because I know a couple of people, but I need to know. I'll get the information from Mel about the group and everything, and then I'll look everything up, and then I'll talk to some people, see if they can help you guys out a little bit.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me, even for you guys to have me, you know, come in and just talk with some of the guys and whatnot. I just really appreciate it. And I'll ask you guys, you know, give me more wisdom and, you know, help educate me on some things I need to know. And I appreciate it.
The education I'm going to tell you, hang on in there, bro.
Yes, sir.
Because it's a tough road. It's a long road. But you got to have patience and everything because, you know, I can tell you I'm one of the commodities of what you did because my father and Gil Clancy and guys that I was brought up with and stuck with me and everything gave me
Griffith,
the opportunity.
Emil Griffith, don't forget Emil Griffith, Emil Griffith.
So the thing is that I got, you know, I understand what you're doing, and we need many more men like you out there on that field to help these kids and show these kids the way because right now they'd be guiding in the wrong way of life and they need some guidance in the right way, really.
Yes, Sean, I really do want to commend you, man, for taking an interest, you know, in the youth and going, you know, way above to, you know, man, just kind of try to, you
beyond
know,
the call
one,
of duty.
Each one kind
beyond
of
the
thing,
call
you
of duty.
Know. Well, way above and beyond the call, Sean. So I really want to commend you, man, for, you know, taking lots of your time to take an interest in the youth. Good job by you.
Yeah. Gentlemen, hold on.
Thank you, sir.
I'm about to take a move and a quick plug here. Dusty will come back with his saying of it. But real quickly, hang on a second. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network, Saturday Sports Wrap. We'll be back tomorrow
at 11:00 with the Sunday Sports and Rap Show with the crew. This Daniel Baby Lord, Tyrone Weston Jr. Put a junior on Dusty's name, Mel Smith Jr., Cincinnati Sea Wings, the First Lady of Tristan Garvito, Sports Lady A, the Hoopster. Giddy up, Gilberto Ortiz and Navy Baseball. But right now, we are talking with the CEO, president of the Bronx Steelers youth football team. You need to get a hold of him. 718-825-2260. 718-825-2260. And they are in need of a host of things. At this time, too, I'd like to thank our sponsors for the beginning minutes and up until now of this show. And that's my man, Andre's Barbershop, located at 21 East 175th Street, Panama, in the house, 917-751-3393. He's in the laundry, master. They're open from Monday to Sunday, every day from 7 to 10 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays, half price on machines from 7 to 2. Need some clothing? Got to get over to him. Manny Mobile Clothing for all occasions, 646-322-1657. As for Jay, the man, though, the main one, Panama. And when we told you where he is at, Andre's Barbershop, located here in the Bronx, 21 East 175th Street, Panama, 917-751-3393. And to help the young Steelers, Bronx Steelers Youth Football Team Incorporated, 718-825-2260. Doc, slow down. Okay, 718-825-2260. Alabama, as we speak football, no longer undefeated. They had their longest reign as number one in the history of Alabama football, and they were beaten by Texas A&M by a freshman quarterback that a lot of people say has a shot to win the Heisman. Alabama, yes, that's where Joe Namath went and was coached by Bear Bryant. And ironically, Bryant was a big innovator in integrating college football. He was one of the first proponents pushing for it. Didn't start at Alabama, but Bear Bryant was sort of like the Paul Brown in a lot of ways. You know, Paul Brown, the coach of the Cleveland Browns, who pro football had an agreement like baseball did. They had a situation where they had a – and it's always amazing how these racist ideas are seen as gentleman agreements. But anyway, there was a gentleman agreement for 10 years not to draft or play black players. And Paul Brown said, yeah, okay, I'm down with that, and drafted and played black players. Marion Motley, who was supplanted by the great Curtis Martin as the only man ever to win a rushing crown. And as you know, he had a kicker by the name of Stu Gillum. I remember I was in the military. One guy said he was a black punter, and the sergeant told me that Paul Brown thought more of his punter than he did his son. And as you know, Paul Brown was the first coach of the legendary, the iconic, the greatest football player and running back in the history of pro football, the great Jim Brown. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It is a Sunday, Saturday sports wrap before. So, well, you know, we're in Sunday now. We'll be back later on tonight at 11. But we're talking with the CEO and president of the Bronx Steelers Youth Tackle Football Team, Mr. Sean Godbolt. And we just, at this time, too, want to salute him for the fine work he's doing for our youth. And Harrow, I think, can really touch so much close to him as the training that is needed. And it's an amazing thing you talked about too, Sean, the ability to not only help the youth but the parents. And this is something, and this is the way your life, Harold, was so impacted. And it had to mean a whole lot to you that as you, in your boxing career, you could always look around, Harold, and see your dad.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I was very lucky than a lot of young men. I mean, you know, I had my dad. I saw him every day. And then I created another father with Gil Clancy, and so, you know, it became a real family. And then Emil Griffin being like my big brother, and so it was, you know, I was very fortunate at 9 years old to have these men. Well, my father was in my life from day one because that's how I got here. But the thing is that, you know, being there and then, you know, being a fighter and being in the field that he was in, it was a blessing for me. And then, you know, them teaching me, which, you know, Sean is trying to do, teach these kids how to lose weight and getting physical. My father and Gil, you know, especially my father, showed me how to eat and how to train and how to get in shape to lose weight. So, I was very blessed to learn that skill. Something that's very important today is knowing how to be in shape and knowing how to keep your health up to par. And that's where a lot of people in our country and the world today don't know how to do. They don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know what to eat. They don't know how to train. They don't know what to do. how much time to put in. They don't know what to do with their body.
You
know, all they know
you said the world. You know, and it's amazing you said the world. My good friend Steve Glazer, and good well wishes once again out to Lady A. And Steve Glazer in Brazil, he said, you know, Doc, 10, 15 years ago, you didn't see a fat Brazilian. But with the implementation of Subway and McDonald's, you know, eating improperly, and it costs even more, you've seen overweight Brazilians. And you talked about, you just said the world, and it's a tremendous point that you just made. You know, people are not eating properly, and it's showing
up.
Well,
they don't know what to eat. They only going to, you know, it's the taste buds that people's got for things. And those taste buds are bad because they make you gain weight. I mean, you know, basically that's what our problem is that our brain tells us to do, to have certain things, and we do it. And so, you know, you got to know how to control your mind. And this is a big thing in our society, because your brain is two pieces. And one side said don't do it, and the other side said do it. And we always want to listen to the other side because we want to do something that's not right to do anyway most of the time. So that's where the, you know, that's where our problem comes at, is a strong brain minded.
And Harold, you never had any trouble, even with all those championships, you know, the championship and being a top contender for the, never had any problem making 47.
Never did. Let me tell you something. I was in the military, okay? My father then wasn't there training me. I came home 2 weeks before the fight to fight Vito Antifermo, okay? I hadn't fought in 18 months, and I had gained weight in the military while I was there. And the reason why I lost the weight because of this Spanish guy, I'll never forget what he called me. And we was all in the bunk, and I'm talking junk and everything else. And he looked at me and said, Harold, you can do this, Harold. You can beat my butt, but I got to say this. And I said, what you going to say, Jose? He said, you look like a little fat butterball. From that point on, in the camp, I just started training. And I kept looking. I just started laughing. And I was. I had gained so much weight because I was in the military and just hanging around doing it. And when he said, Haru, you are so funny, but you know, you look like a big fat butterball.
And when I got into shape, that's when I
made the fight with Vito Antifermo.
That army child was the one, man, I put on tons. And I used to run after duty hours. I used to run with my combat boots and all that because, you put on weight because all you do is military drills and all that. And you go out there and get your three slaps and a flop. And the three slaps are all greasy.
Yeah.
And you, as much as you can eat. And what was that favorite thing? I don't know if you remember that, Harold, that SOS, shit on a shingle, man. And that was corned beef for toast. Man, that stuff was good. Dudes hated it, but it was a good slop, man. And I used to eat that, man. Ooh, are you kidding? But you do put up, but after a while you get the army PT test and your tongue is dragging and you I gotta knock off some of this crap, man. And
you said an amateur champion, Dusty. What was your weight class primarily, Dusty? Being an amateur champion,
were you middleweight? How Dusty, 160?
No. I told you I was a 47. Harold and we paralleled each other. He took the 47 open, and I took the 47 open maybe 5 years earlier. And I was a welterweight. When I turned pro, I was like in between. I used to crack 50, 52 and a half. That's as high as I ever went. Mm. 52 and a half, or, you know, 47, 48, 49, 50, 52 and a half. But
so right now you about 162, 163, Dusty?
No, I'm 205, my friend, 205.
You do
put on weight after a while, you know.
Hey, Dusty, you say you, the Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Trusting the Guard Radio Network. You know, on that Phil Jackson situation, they talk, one of the things Jackson, and you know what, I'm looking at it now, and he can't be serious, he wants travel restrictions. Now, how can you coach a team and not travel with the team? At the same time,
well,
he's also looking for more
major league baseball players.
Exactly,
Clemens that only pitched at home when he felt like it or whatever. But did Clemens have a criminal
exactly
style at home?
It was Nolan Ryan. If Nolan Ryan wasn't pitching on the road trip, he didn't go. But I can see that. But how can you be a coach if you're not
going? His mind is not in the game if he doesn't want to travel.
You're right. You're 100%. No, to come in and say, look, well, we'll have dinner next Thursday, but, you know, I can't go to a steak restaurant. You know where I want to go. You're right. I mean, this is – you're looking at this. I mean, how can you not travel with the team as the coach?
If they want him back, he says, I'll take it, but these are my conditions. Well, then I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plain and simple. I don't need you. If you're going to put on conditions, and especially when you come to New York, then you go to Milwaukee, then you go to St. Louis, then you go to Cleveland, then you go to Detroit.
Got to go to Boston. Got to go down to Miami.
Right. You don't want to travel? Well, goodbye, Charlie. You're going to be an absentee coach?
Yeah. You know, hey. Ask Brown. You're still paying him. Maybe he can fill in those dates I can't travel on. Tomorrow, the Nets will be playing the Orlando Magic again. They just beat the Magic, held the Magic to 19 points in one quarter. That's the most they ever got. They broke a 10-game losing streak, and they'll be playing them again tomorrow. So either they will continue their winning streak or get back on the losing streak. To the Magic, Knicks are the only undefeated team in the NBA. The first time in close to two decades, they're 4-0. And Phil Jackson is the lead, but he may relinquish that lead to come back and coach Kobe and the Los Angeles Lakers. Jets tomorrow at Seattle. And ironically enough, the Jets will be playing a former Jet coach, 5-4. Is Seattle, which is surprising, 5-4. People say he may be at least 4-5 in the game against Green Bay. Mark Sanchez and the Jets, or every game has to be a must-win situation right now. They're 3-5. And the Giants will be playing Cincinnati and looking to get off. Well, they only lost one game. And
looking
they haven't
to get
playing
beat
well. They could be.
Sanchez's former coach at USC, though?
I believe so. Yeah.
USC championships under Pete Carroll.
Under Pete Carroll, you know. Well, you know what? Maybe if he plays that good or that bad, he could stay in Seattle and you know stay there with Pete. But Sean, now do you have a favorite football team, Sean?
It's funny you should ask that. I like the Steelers.
There you go.
I figured that was it. I mean, about you? You have no opinion or thought on the New York teams here, the Jets or the Giants?
Well, I like the Giants. I like what they've done last year, and you know, I just like them all around, and whatnot. What they've done so far, a situation with Plexico Burst and whatnot. I mean, they picked them up from Pittsburgh, and. You know, how it played out, you know. But other than that, I think that they're a great organization.
Have you ever had
Sean,
a chance
give
to...
us the inside scoop. I'm sorry now. Sean, give us the inside scoop. Any future Jason Pierre Paul on the squad?
Well, we have a lot of kids coming up right now, a lot of young guys that I think is going to do extremely well as long as they keep their schoolwork up. Mm. We have Sadiqi Cone. We have a Sanus Magani, and we have a Christopher Beckford. These guys
how old are these young fellas? Could be age.
They're 11 years old right now.
Mm-hmm.
Each one that I mentioned, they're 11-year-old
mm-hmm.
kids. We have a Deion Johnson. That's one of our older kids. He's the 8th grade All-American. That kid should get MVP. I mean,
eighth grade
All-American, phenomenal player. Deion Johnson.
What high school is he in?
Right now he's going to I think he's in Cardinal Hayes right now.
Cardinal Hayes, that's a good
football school.
He's going to be playing for them. Remember, they took him from us. which I appreciate. They actually took him from us last year. And
what position
does
he play?
Player.
What position does he play?
Quarterback, Deion Johnson.
Yep. Well, Hayes is a good football school.
How much does it cost a year to take care to do these programs you got? What is that's too personal?
Your budget. What's your budget to fund the program for a year?
It's honestly, it's about $22,000. Honestly, drying cut,
every year.
$22,000.
every year because we're dealing when we first open up our doors. You know, every spring we open up our doors, we get like 226 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have parents. You have a lot of, you know, I have a lot of parents that you have to mandate them. They have to come in and they have to work with you. It's just
mm-hmm.
You're not gonna drop your kid off here and run away. You're gonna
right.
come in and you're gonna help do something.
$22,000 for each year. I mean, the kids are there for a certain period of time, like from December to what? What is it?
Well, we keep them from March all the way around to December. And then we come
wow.
back in February and we have a award ceremony.
Oh,
so basically, you're talking about March to December, a small break in January, and you're right back at it in February.
Right. Well, in January they got to come in and it's all academic. Those are academic months.
Oh,
well, where we really pour it on. So when you let's say you join up with the organization right now, mm-hmm. We'll tell you age 10 or age 9, ma'am, he's going to be here for about 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
we stay together. So it's an all-year thing. We like to work with the parents and whatnot, and the school teachers and the principals, the church, the whole community. To keep, you know, everyone knows each other. And
family affair. A family affair. Now you
exactly.
Are you a former player yourself? Did you play? What position did you play? What school did you go to?
I played in North Carolina, Dover Lattimore Wolfpacks.
Mm-hmm.
I played in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I also came up here and played in the New York National Guard Challenge Program.
Mm-hmm.
That was upstate Peekskill, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what position did you play, Coach?
I was a running back.
Huh?
I was a running back. Yes, sir.
Did you wear a special number?
37.
Okay, why 37? Who were some of the football idols that you had coming up?
Well, I always I had a Herschel Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Dorsett, Franco Harris,
Franco Harris, number 32.
Yes, Rocky
uh-huh.
Blair.
Rocky Blair.
Yeah, Jim Brown, especially Jim Brown.
Jim Brown. I remember introducing Jim Brown of his spot. For Doc Stanley Sports Net on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, it is our sports wrap. We've got about a good 2-3 minutes left here, and you know the panel. And we also tonight, we've been lucky to have the president of the Bronx Steelers Youth Football Team Incorporated, Sean Godbolt. And I remember after introducing Jim Brown to the kids, honored to do so also by the grace of God, and Howie Evans had said, Mel, you introduced him. And I told him, you know, you have no idea who stands before you. This is the greatest football player ever played. And the kid asked him a question. One kid asked Mr. Brown, he said, of all the records that you held and broke, what are you most proudest of? And Jim Brown said that I never missed a game. And I'll never forget that. And then, you know, Jim Brown has been a lot like you, Amara Icahn. He's been out there helping the youth of America. I know the hypothesis of your program is Latin and African-American youth, but you're open to all youth. And once again, you can reach Mr. Godbolt at 718-825-2260, 718-825-2260. Rooney, in the closing minutes, let's let you close out, and we can talk for the last couple of minutes. But Doc Stanley Sports In Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. It is our Saturday Sports Talk. We'll be back tonight at 11 p.m. with the sports final, Harold Weston Jr., there's Daniel Baby Lewis Jr., Mel Smith Jr., Cincinnati Sea Wings, Raymond the Hoopster, Lewis Hoops Hart, Giddy Up Gilberto Ortiz, Nate B. Baseball, and the First Lady of Sports and the Sports Lady A. But right now, Mel Cole Smith Jr. will say goodnight.
Doctor, you're saying?
Goodnight. Say goodnight.
Indeed, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink's been here. And that indeed has been Doc Stanley.
Thank you, Rooney.
Doc.
And with that, thank you, Rooney. With that, great thoughts, Muhammad Ali. Service to others is what you pay for your room here on earth. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Jackie Robinson, A life is not important except the impact it has on another life. I say live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. I simply say, from my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God. We're back here tonight, 11 o'clock, Sports to Death on the Trust in God Radio Network. The panel is here, and we hope, we know, Coach, we'll have you come back and join us tomorrow night, too. Sports to Death.
Thank you.
Trust in God Radio Network, and we'll be back tonight at 11 o'clock with the Sunday Sports Wrap. And from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, trust in God. And Larry Harsey will say, sign out. Larry, tell him.
Good night.
Thank you
God
for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and...